since you already had a chance to see all this, and because we don't have so much time. So, first let's talk about Sveik Sveik Mishem Echad, which is Klal Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So, the Gemara in Ksubos talks about the Sveik Sveik of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, that may be Tachtav, maybe Laf Tachtav, and Tzilomer Tachtav, maybe Onus, maybe Ratzon. And Toso says that there's an additional Safek, even if, let's imagine, Kibla Avia Kiddushin Pechusami Bashal Shanim, which is Safek Onus, Safek Ratzon, Vimtim Tzilomer Ratzon, maybe she was a Ktana, maybe she was a Gdola. And if she was a Ktana, so then she would be mutaris because pitui anak ktanak onesu. So Tosfos famously answers no, that shame ones chatu. In other words, there's simply one question here, not two questions. The one question is, was it ones or was it ratzon? And the fact that there are two possible examples of ones doesn't make it into a sveik sveika. Does everyone agree to that rule? So the shach, as you saw, certainly paskins it. But the Acharonim point out, among them the Kreis Uplasi, that the Shach disagrees with Tosus. The Shach in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Chav Beis, and Chav Gimel. And it is not clear that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. Rather, there's no basis for Tosfos' proof that Sveik Sveika Mishem Echad is invalid. And that's because the Rambam in Isurei Bia Paragimel Halacha Beis writes that Pitui Ktana is not an Ones, she's Naseres. And if that's true, so then there's no longer any proof from the Gemara that a Sveik Sveika Mishem Echad is an invalid Sveik Sveika. And therefore, there were Achronim who maintained that the Rambam disagrees with the Tosfos, and perhaps we should even paskin like the Rambam, the Chavos Das, on Shach Sevkat Yud, the Bina Sadam, and others. But Lamaisa, the Poskim, Halach Lamaisa, say we accept the Shach, we accept Tosfos, and the truth of the matter is maybe even the Rambam would agree. After all, it's very logical to say that Shem Echad is invalid, even if there's no proof that the Rambam would agree to this. The Shach also points out, based off of the Trumas Hadeshin, we alluded to this in the last Chabura, that when one is Matir Yosir Menasheni, even though fundamentally they do seem like a Shem Echad, then that is a valid Sveik Sveika. So the example of the Trumas Hadeshin is if you have a female animal that gave birth to twins, and we don't know whether she gave birth beforehand, in which case both of the twins are not a Bechor, or she did not, in which case the older one of the two twin boys is a Bechor, and we of course don't know which one was born first. So in the end of the day, the Trumas Hadeshin actually thinks this isn't such a good Sveik Sveika because it's Safek Echad B'Guf, Safek Echad B'Taroves. Safek in Bichrem Lo Bichra, and then the Taroves, which one was born first. But leaving that aside, fundamentally, the Trumas Hadeshin thinks it should be a good Sveik Sveika. And the reason is because even though it would seem like it's Shem Echad, after all, really we have one Shaila. Is this the Bechor or is it not the Bechor? But there's a Nafkamina. One Safek is Matir more than the other one. What does that mean? That the second Safek, if it was a Bechor, if she already gave birth the first time, then both sons are Pshutim. If she did already give birth, so then only one of them is a Pashut. So one Safek is Matir Yoser Min Hasheni. That's the Chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshin. And then B'chiyai Gavna, we do say Sveik Sveika. Now, then there's a little debate between Morenu Rav Moshe quoted in the Trumas Hadeshin and the Maharai, the Trumas Hadeshin himself, as to how far you take it. The Nafkamina being, not if they're twin boys, where there it's clear that one Safik is Mater Yosem and Asheni, namely, but in the case where one is a boy and one is a girl, the twins are mixed. Why is that different? Because in that case, there really isn't a practical Nafkamina, because what are her two Sveikos? Maybe she already gave birth, in which case both twins would be exempt. What's a second Safek? Maybe the firstborn was a girl, in which case also both twins would be exempt. So that's why Moreno Rav Moshe maintained that that is an invalid Sveik, that is a pure, full-fledged Shem Echad. The Maharai says he brought Rios before Moreno Rav Moshe that this was wrong and that here too it's a sfeik sfeika. He doesn't tell us what his rayos are, but essentially seems to be saying that there's still a difference in the sfeikos. Not so clear exactly what he means. One way to say it is that there's a nafka mina in a different case. In this case, in other words, between the two shilas, if the two shilas, shila one is, did the mother give birth first already or not? And shila two is, which of these two children were born first? So there's a nafka mina in the event that it was two boys. There's no nafka mina, it's true in this case, but theoretically, because under different circumstances there would be a nafka mina, so then that's considered echad matrios min hasheni, or, and this is his lashon, sounds this way a little more, that it's a nafka mina in lamdos. And it almost sounds like he's saying, and I don't know if this makes any sense, but if she gave birth before, so then neither of these animals are bechor, whereas if she didn't, so then even if the female is the bechor, so it's a difference. Now, either way, both vlados are pater, but there's a difference between the ptur of a pashut and the ptur of a female. Neither of them have kedushas bechor, neither a female nor a second-born male. But there is a difference between their ptur, and therefore there's a nafka mina in the sense in lamdus, and that's enough to make it a valid sfeik sfeika. Last time we talked about how, practically speaking, this idea of echad mater yosem min hasheni could be used to resolve a lot of the cases of sfeik sfeika used by the poskim that seem to be Yushem Echad. One example was the approach of the Noda Behuda based off of Makor Makomo Tame. I'll just give you the Makor there, since I didn't give it to you last time. It's Maradur Kama Yardea Simen Mem Aleph. And the second was Pimiyashev, the sfeik sfeika of the Rush by Chadash. I just want to correct one thing I said before. The way I said it last time is the way some achronim say it, but the way I personally thought made more sense in terms of why the sfeik sfeika of Chadash makes sense is like this. There's two sfeikos. One is whether the omer was matirit, and even if the omer wasn't matirit, maybe it was nishrash kodem la omer, and there was no iser chal originally. In other words, when you have wheat that's already harvested, or maybe even if not harvested, that's already grown. So then, but let's assume harvested for now, so then the omer is matir that until the omer is brought its aser. Once the omer is brought, it becomes mutter. Whereas wheat that was in the ground, that was nishrash, but not yet harvested, it's not the pshat that omer is matir, it's not yet aser, it's just a seed, it's just a sapling, whatever it is. Rather, the pshat there is that the iser is never chal originally. And there are places in the Gemara, this might actually be a machlokas rishonim whether this is true, but there are places in the Gemara and rishonim where I think there's evidence for that idea. I'll just tell you one of them. The Gemara in Ayin Amabesim and Nachos is Mesodok. When do you need Hashrasha? Is Hashrasha Talui in Lel Tazayin? And if it was Nishrash Lel Tazayin, it's Mutter that year? Or, no, maybe it's Talui in the Hakravas HaOmer, Heira Mizrach. So the fact that we could be, now we know when the matir, there's no doubt when the matir of the wheat is chal, that's with the Akravas Omer, Heira Mizrach. But we're misupik about the heter of Hashrasha. Now, if they were the one and the same, so it would be a very strange suffix. Whereas the fact that we're at least consider the possibility of distinguishing between them highlights that they work differently, and that could explain why this is in fact a valid sfeik sfeika. There's a lot in the Achronim about this, and practically, I think we'll skip it, but the Kiryas Yoplesi, the Chochmas Adam, and the like. Okay, I think we won't get into that. So now we're up to Yud Gimel then, which is whether you need Sfeik Sfeik HaMes Hapech. So, first of all, do the Rishonim hold a Sfeik Sfeik HaMes Hapech? So, one source in the Rishonim that you all saw was the Tosfos Rishonim in Tesamid Beis in Ksubos. And on the other hand, I think we might have noted this in the previous Chabura, we find evidence that a number of Rishonim don't seem to hold of this. One proof is the Tosfos on Ksubos, Daf Tesamid Aleph. And the two questions where this comes up is, one is whether we should be mitzdaref the fact that maybe this guy who said Pesach Pasuach isn't a Baki as part of the Seik Sveika. And the second, for example, we do consider that with respect to the Ksuba. That's why he can't be Masader Ksuba, because Ukimono Cheskas Mare. And so Tosa says, you have a Seik Sveika, even in terms of Isser. Maybe he's not a Baki. Vimtin Slomer is a Baki, maybe. Maybe a suffik bonus, suffik beratzon, and therefore, even an Ashes Kohen shouldn't be mafsida ksuba, should be mutaras. So Tosus answers that the suffik onus is not a suffik gamor ayin sham, but the Tosus Yishanim says an even more straightforward answer: this is not a sveik sveik amasapech, because you can't say, and if it was ratzon, maybe he's not a baki. If it was ratzon, so then she's a ba'ula. And the second suffix invalid. You can't be mishapechet. Likewise, on Amud Aleph, you could have given a similar answer to the question of Tosos there at the bottom. So the Rivash and the Shach all say that you see from here you need sveik sveik hamishapech. So the Prima Gadim says, well, maybe we should say fakert. From the fact that Tosos didn't give that answer, and in two places, maybe you see we don't need sveik sveik hamishapech. So the Prima Gadim answers based off of an idea that we're about to see that the Shach makes himself, which is that perhaps in the event that it makes more sense to ask one question before the other, so then it is still a valid Sveik Sveika. Whereas if both questions could be equally asked first, then if it's not mishapech, it's an invalid sveik sveika. And one way to see this, the Achronim explain, is what is the reason why you need sveik sveika mishapech? My chazus. Why did you ask question one before asking question two? Ask question two before you ask question one. And since if you ask question two before asking question one, then it's an invalid sveik sveika. So what gives you the right to ask question one before you ask question two? My chazus. Who says? Or the way some Achronim say it is, we should say Sveika Daraisa L'chomra. You could phrase the Sveik Sveika one way, in which case it would be Aser. You could phrase it another way, in which case it would be Mutter. So Sveika Daraisa L'chomra, you have to be Machmir. Ah, well, if that's true, so then if there's a reason to ask one question before the other, then in fact it should be a valid Sveik Sveika. There's no longer the Svara of my Chazis. So that is the approach that the Shach says. In the end, the Shach thinks perhaps this is a Machlokas between the Halichos Olam. The Halichos Olam, I think, is the Klali Hora Sefer, the Beis Yosef, and others. The Halichos Olam holds that any time it's Eino Mishapech, it's invalid, whereas a number of other sources, like the Rashba, hold no. Perhaps, even though the Rashba doesn't say explicitly that you do need Eino Mishapech, he could hold that you need Eino Mishapech, except that he would agree that if one question should ask before the other, so then that makes sense. Now, one of the tricky parts of applying this rule is how do you figure out which suffix, which question to ask first? So the Shach points out that sometimes it's obvious. For example, if it relates to location, did it enter? Vintim Slomer enter? Did X or Y happen? So obviously it makes sense to first ask, did it enter? And not ask whether first X or Y happened, because you don't even know if it's here in the first place. In other cases, it's not clear. Now, with this, the Prima Gadim says we could go back and say maybe Tosos fundamentally agrees to the principle that you need Sveik Sveika, that's Eino Mishapech. Why? Because let's say you have a chazaka about one of the sveikos. So we will assume that the chazaka remains intact as long as possible. That's the whole idea of a chazak meikara. So since she has a chazkas she'ena be'ula, so it makes sense to ask the question as to whether she's a mukas eitz or not first, before we ask what type of be'ila took place. That would explain why on Tesamid Aleph, Tosfos thinks that it would be a sveik sveik mukas eitz or not, v'imtin salomir be'ula ones raton. And likewise on Amud Beis, she has a chazaka that she's not a be'ula, so first we'll ask, maybe he's a baki, maybe he's not a baki, and only afterwards will we consider, well, if she's actually a be'ula, maybe ones, maybe raton. So while Tosfos certainly would be against the Beis Yosef, He's not necessarily against the general principle or requirement that you need a sveik sveika shem ishapech. The Dagol Mirvava has an interesting kuntz. He says, well, if the whole reason for invalidating sveik sveika she'enu mishapech is because my chazis and safek deraisa l'chumra, so memela, if you have a case of a safek derabanan, then we would be mekel in a sveik sveika she'enu mishapech. Because, after all, here, we could say safek derabanan l'kula. Now, there are some achronim who try to say the chisaron of sveik sveika she'enu mishapech is really a variation of shem echad, but again, like we mentioned last time, that's difficult because we have, for example, in Tosfos, examples where one would be true without the other, and you could have it in both directions. The Shach adds, when explaining the Rashba, that by Shnei Gufin you don't need Mishapech, because, like we said, Memela Tzach Lishap, to begin at the first one, and Bugof Echad, that's when you say you can't have Mishapech, and likewise with respect to places. Okay. There are achronim who say that lack of mishapech is not a problem, who disagree with the Shach. And if you take a look at Shuvos Yabia Omer, Chelak Gimel Evan Hazer Yud Ches, Chelak Dalet Yeredeya, Simen Yud Os Dalet, he argues that we do say sveik sveika even if it's not mishapech. So the master sveik sveikos shows that there are many achronim who reject this rule, and as we saw, you could make a strong case that the Pashup Pshat and Tosfos and other Rishonim is that we don't have this rule, the Pashup Pshat and Rashba, the Pashup Pshat and Tosfos. In a sense, the Shach has to work very hard to defend, to justify this rule, and in fact, the simple understanding of the mainstream Rishonim is that there is no such requirement. Okay. Moving on to Tez Zayin. So Tez Zayin is a very interesting rule. Basically, it says that if you could ask the question on a deraisa, with a deraisa lens, and it would be motor mishum sveik sveika, and then you could ask the question on a derabanan lens and be makel based off of safek derabanan l'hakel, and you'll see that the Shach took that for granted in some of the earlier cases, like the question about the egg development. Okay, so that brings us to Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin and Yud Ches deal with the rules of Safek Derabanan L'kula. And basically what the Shach does is he sets up three categories of Sveikos Derabanan, and each one has different rules with respect to the question of Safek Derabanan L'kula or not. So the most lenient is an Iser Derabanan that's based off of a Chashash Rachok. And an example that the Shach gives of this is Basar Shenis Alei Min Ha'ayin. An interesting question, which I don't know the answer to, is this the only example? In one place, the Shach sounds like it is the only example, because he doesn't say kigon. In another place, he does say kigon. It sounds like maybe there are other examples. It's not clear if there's any other examples. And the truth is, parenthetically, even this might not be a valid example. There's a big machlokas between the Shach and the Ramah in the halachos of Basha Shenis Alei Min Ha'ayin. According to the Ramah, push comes to shove, we're makel in the case of Basar Shenis Alei Min Ha'ayin, in the event that the meat remained in the same place that you left it. And it's only when there's a reyesa, namely it's not the way it was left, that we are machmir because of Basar Shenis Alei Min Ha'ayin. L'chor, in that case, it actually is a full-fledged safek, in which case the leniencies that the Shach develops aren't going to be applicable. And therefore, the Ramah might not even agree to the existence of this category whatsoever. Either way, the Shach thinks that it does exist. And he says, what are the halachos of a sveik sveika that's a chashash rachok? So, number one, obviously we say safek derabanan lahakel. Though even here, the Shach says if it's a taroves chad b'chad, we are machmir, that's kegufo shel iser. We'll talk more about that shortly. Number two, we say it's batel berov even when it's a davar chashav. In other words, as we'll see in a moment, even though generally we assume that the principle, the rule, the midrabanan rule, that davar chashav is not batel b'taroves applies even for isuri derabanan, when it's an isur derabanan that's based off of a far-fetched concern, even though the concern is a deraisa concern fundamentally, or concern that this meat isn't kosher, but since it's a far-fetched concern, therefore it's mutter. Now, again, how do you know something is in this category and not in, what we'll see in a moment, category 3? Both cases, they're a concern for deraisa. So the answer is you have to look at the sugya, and you have to make diukim from the sugya how this works. In other words, on its own, as opposed to the difference between category 2 and category 3, which we'll talk about in a moment, which you could just figure out on your own, right? What's the concern? Is the concern maybe this is an issur d'oraisa, or is this concern that will bring you to a different situation, which might be an issur d'oraisa? The difference between category 1 and category 3 is not obvious on its own, and you have to look for clues within the sugya. If you learn the sugya, you'll see that that is in fact the case. Okay. So, what about category 2? So, category 2 is an issur d'rabbanan that stems from a concern that being lenient in this case will lead to leniencies under different circumstances and might eventually cause an issur d'oraisa to be violated, but not directly, not this particular case, meaning to say almost all issurim d'rabbanan relate to a concern of a Torah violation, mishmaris l'mishmarti, but sometimes the concern is that this might be asur mid'oraisa, and sometimes the concern is that it will lead somehow to a different situation where an issur d'oraisa would be violated. So one example is Beitzus Nevela. Beitzus Nevela in and of itself can't be issur d'oraisa, but there was a concern it would be confused with a Beitzus Trefa, which is issur d'oraisa, or a Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum, let's assume for the moment, is asur mishum b'noseihem, not gzeira shemayer bodavar asur, and therefore it's not that there's any issur violated by eating this particular food, but leniency here would lead to a violation of Torah law under other circumstances. Or tzir dag tameh. There's no problem here with tzir dag tameh. It's definitely mutter midaraisa, but you'd get it confused with the dag atzmo or tzir of nevela or the like, which are isurim deraisa. Tzir lasar rotfan, hatameim lasar tzir and verotfan. So, what's the halacha in this case? In this case, we do apply the principle of safek dirabanan lahakel. However, you have to be machmir when it's a davar chashev mixed into a taroves. And finally, the third category, the most stringent category, is an iser dirabanan that there is a concern that there is an iser d'oraisa in this very piece of food, let's say. So, obviously, the Shach's example, based off the Isser Hatter, this is the case of Vinas Akum. As we saw last year, Vinas Akum is not at all clear why it's Asser. But the Pashup Shot is that it's Asser because of a concern that this Gvina was made with Orkevas Nevela. Now, on a D'oraisa level, that's not a concern. Why? Let's assume because most cheese is made out of keva and not or keva. Cheese is made out of keva, even if it's kevas nevela, it's mutter mid'oraisa, it's pir shab alma. But if it's made out of or kevas nevela, it's an issur d'oraisa. Now, al pi rov, it's going to be mutter. However, chazal were misakein that you could, that we shouldn't rely on this rov, and it should be usher. And therefore, since the concern is that this in and of itself might be an issur d'oraisa, so then we treat it more stringently, and the Shach says, therefore, here we don't apply the principle of safek d'rabbanan l'kula, rather, a safek would be a d'oraisa. Now, you might have said what the issur hatar actually means to say is that it's niskan ala vade and not ala safek. In other words, don't treat, you might have said that gvinas akum, let's say it's vade gvinas akum, that in and of itself is a safek, because maybe it was made with keva, not or keva, and therefore, let's say you could even starve another safek to it, it would be mutter. That is not true. The Shach is saying that's clearly untrue. It's a they were misaking it as a vade yisr. And moreover, not only were they misaking it as a vade yisr, but even if you have safek gvinas akum, you have to be machmir. We say sveika l'chumra. And certainly, it's not going to be batal if it's a davar chashev. Parenthetically, that in and of itself isn't so true, because since the Prichadish says, what do you mean? It's not an iser machmas atzmo, and then we're not machmir b'davar chashev. But when we learn the earlier parts of Yeridei, we'll get back to that question. So is there any leniency here? Is there any difference between Vina Sakaman and actual Issa Deraisa? So the answer is yes. The Shaf says at the very least you could still be Mekel, Safek Echa Beguf, Safek Echa Betaroves here. Right? Let's say you have a Safek whether they were Machlif this Gvina with Gvina Cheres. You don't know if this is Miller cheese or it was switched out for Kraft cheese. So then you could be Matir Midin Sfek Sveka, even though it's Safek Echa Beguf, Safek Echa Betaroves. Okay, the Pri Chadash, as I mentioned, says that he agrees with the idea that it's Kisar Vadai, but he says it's not the pshat that they transformed it into an Isser Torah. Memela, if there's a Safek Begufo, it would be Mutter. And again, he also says that it will never have a Din of Chatich L'Iskabe based off of Kuf Aleph Sif Beis. Okay, let's turn to Sif Klal Yud Tes. Safek Deraisish and Nizgal Galil Safek Derabanan. So this is the idea that when something was originally a Safek Torah, but the practical application that we're considering at present is only worst case scenario a Isser Derabanan. So on the one hand, you would have expected to say, look, Lamaisa, since the Shaila before me is an Isser Derabanan, so I should say Safek Derabanan Lakula. And the idea is, no, that since at its root it's a Deraisa Shaila, you have to be Machmir. And there are a number of fascinating examples of this Shaila. But let's talk about the one example of this, and which is discussed in the Pisrei Tshuva Yud Tes from three different Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because it's a really a fascinating analysis going through. So the question is, comes up all the time, Yoni just told us they had this question, right? Somebody says, oh, I inherited dishes from my grandmother who died 30 years ago, and I know they're kosher, but I don't know if these were meat or milchig dishes. So, what could I do? If they're silverware, it's easy. You just kosher them, al hasafek, but here, there's not really much of an option. So let's take a step back. Let's imagine a slightly simpler case. Let's say the situation is as follows. 3 months ago, I bought chicken from a store, and I cooked it, and I used it on my dishes, and then I found out yesterday that this was actually Suffolk treif chicken. I don't know, the store sold kosher chicken and treif chicken. I don't know if the one that I bought was kosher or the one that I bought is treif. So now, my current shaila is only a purely derabanan shaila. Why? Because we know that kelim she'enem b'nei yoman on a deraisa level can be used. Why? Because the blios are no Saint tam lefgam. On a derabanan level, we said that you have to be mach mir gzeira eno ben yomo atu ben yomo. So if I had a shaila on a chicken, I would have to be machmir. But now the chicken's all long gone. Now I only have a shaila on the plates, and the plates are an Isser Derabanan. So the Marival was Machmir on this. And the Rabbi Akiva Eiger notes there's two really ways to understand the reason for this ruling. And generally, the reason why we say Safek Deraisish and Nizgal Galil Safek Derabanan, that we're Machmir. The first way to understand it is that when solving a shaila, we first look at the primary question, and we solve the primary question first, and then we consider the secondary question. So in this case, the primary question was whether the chicken was kosher or not kosher. The application, the secondary question, is now whether my dishes are kosher or unkosher, and it's true, that's a safek derabanan. But the primary question is whether the chicken was kosher or unkosher. And since we have to first decide the primary question, and the primary question is resolved based off of the principle of Safek Deraisa L'Chamra, so Memela, I have to be Machmir across the boards even with respect to the secondary question. The second way of looking at this is a type of Kamdina. Since we paskin L'Chamra on the primary question, so Memela, we also have to be Machmir on the secondary question. We can't be inconsistent with respect to the very same question. Now, you'll notice, as the Pisrei Tshuva points out, that in truth, this is very, very similar to the question
of Safek Achad Beguf, Safek Achad Betaroves. Safek Achad Beguf, Safek Achad Betaroves were Machmir. And here too, there was a question. How do we understand the basis for the Chumra? The simple reading of the Rashba, and this is the Psak of the Beis Yosef, is that it's based off of Kamdina. And that's why it sounds like from the Rashba that if both Shilas came up at the same time, we could be Mako. Whereas the Isser V'Heter, let's say, the simple reading is no, that we look at the fundamental question first, and since the fundamental question, Safek Achad Beguf were Machmir, then we can't be Mekel, can't be Mitzar to a Sveik Sveika. Now, how do we paskin over there, by the way? So over there, we were Machmir, the Shach said, though B'Makom Hefsed Meruba, he thought that if both Shilas came up at the same time, it could be Mekel. Maybe we would say the same thing over here. Anyhow, so what are the nafkaminas between these two explanations? So one is this case, where the secondary question is only discovered after the primary question is no longer ba'olam, right? So like our case, you discover months ago you had safek kosher, but there's no longer any meat around, so we don't have to paskin on the meat. We're only paskining on the dishes. So if you say it's because of kamdin, it should be mutter. If you say it's because of looking at the primary question, so then probably not. Now, then Rabbi Akiva Eger throws in a fascinating monkey wrench, which we won't get into now too much, but it's just very interesting, which is he says, well, maybe it depends on a machlokas rishonim as to how you look at nosin tam lefgam and the idea of blios. And there's really two ways to understand it. It's a machlokas between the Rashba and Aran. I'm going to oversimplify for now. But why is it that if the dishes haven't been used for a couple of days and you cook on them, the food is mutter because the nosin tam lefgam? Is it the pshat that the blios themselves are pagumim? Or is it the pshat that the blios themselves don't become pagum after 24 hours? After all, food that's be'en doesn't become pagum after 24 hours, right? We spent all week eating leftovers. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was pagum. But l'chor, it wasn't begadder ein roi l'achilas ger, right? But So some say, yeah, the blios become pagumim. Be'en doesn't become pagumim, blios become pagumim after 24 hours. Some say, no, the blios themselves are perfectly good still, but they're always going to be poge metavshil. Now, if you take the approach that the blios themselves are in and of themselves good, so then maybe you could say that even root question, or shilas at the blios, the application is in the food. Or do you say, no, that since there's no way to access those blios without cooking, so then no. So Rabbi Kivager says maybe it's going to depend on that question as well. Either way, Rabbi Akiva Eger says there's going to be another nafkamina. So again, between these two reasons. So one nafkamina is where kamdina isn't relevant because we already solved, because one question isn't relevant anymore. The primary question isn't relevant, only the second question. The second nafkamina is very fascinating. What if at the time that the meat was cooked, it was known what it was, but only months later was forgotten? So that's, and now the question's about the kalim, right? So here we would say the opposite. If you hold that the reason is because of kamdina, so it would be okay. But it would still be usur if your question is about the root question. But then he says like this. Maybe he says,
what would be okay if it's about kamdina? You already passed a shaila months ago, and you was usur.
No, it wasn't a shaila. It wasn't a shaila because. I'm sorry. Did we stop. We could pick up.
There's an AC by the pharmacy. So.
I'm sorry.
He's